I have fasted and prayed and sought the Lord. And I believe that I have the message that God wants me to preach. I was praying today in the altar and I said, God, I said, I feel so inadequate. I feel like I'm not worthy. Many times I feel that way, most all the time these days, when I get in the pulpit and I asked the Lord, I said, God, I said, would you just preach the message through me? Would you just preach the message? And I felt the witness of the Lord in that. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 17. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17. Hallelujah. I'm going to read down through verse number 24. Hallelujah. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolishness of preaching the cross. I have a burden in my heart that we are on the verge many times of being outside the balance of the Christian walk. We are grateful for the blessings of God. We are thankful for the outpouring of His Spirit in our lives and the answers to prayer, how we can come to the altar of supplication and we can find every need met. We're thankful, amen, for the things that God does for us day in and day out. But there's a lost and a dying world that still needs to hear the message. There is no other message that will work. We must preach the cross. If I could title this tonight, it's their only hope. It's their only hope. Would you allow the Lord to talk to you tonight about these things? Would you allow the Lord to challenge you tonight about these things? I love to rejoice, Brother Pepper, but I want somebody to be saved. It's been too long since we've seen what we know can happen. And God has positioned us with His blessings and given us the message. And I'm looking for souls to come in. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you tonight for the Holy Ghost to help us. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my heart in these past few weeks and months. God, how you've worked in my soul. And I rejoice tonight, God, once again, Lord, just to stand and declare that which you have placed there, that I may tell others of your burden tonight, and we can respond and see you move in a mighty way. Father, I pray that you'll help me, God. I'll do my part and get out of the way. But I'm asking you, Lord, to have your way in this place tonight. Let this first night of this meeting, let it solidify, God. Let it strengthen the message that we preach and that which we are here for. I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, have your way. And everybody said with me, amen. I want to tell you something before you sit down. I want you to look right up there. Where was it? I love that logo. It has captured my heart. A lighthouse in the cross. In the cross. God bless you. You can be seated in the Lord. Hallelujah. It's so hard, amen, to preach something that God gives you and you preach it and you keep preaching it. And you say, Lord, can I preach something else? And the Lord says, no, I want you to preach this. Sister Kaylin, God's talking to us. I wish you could have heard the devotion that she brought last week. I'm still chewing on that moment. Amen. God's dealing with us to be more than we are. To be more than just a blessed Christian. Amen. But to be a soldier. Amen. To be on the front lines. Hallelujah. I appreciate R&R. And I appreciate the blessings, amen, of a table prepared in the presence of mine enemies. And my cup runneth over. Hallelujah. But at some point, I got to get up from that table and face the enemy. Hallelujah. Because the enemy is out to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he can't cross the bloodline. That blood is applied to your heart and your life. He can't cross it. Amen. But there are multitudes around us who do not have that privilege tonight. And they are perishing all around us. And God has dealt with my heart about it. And I can't help but stand here and preach anything else to you but what God has put his hand in the middle of my back and really pushing right now. It seems to be so hard to get people saved. One here, one there. One once in a while. And yet the book of Acts declares, amen, that when they testified and they preached, and with great grace he gave them the power to declare the resurrection. Amen. In the book of Acts chapter 4, every time they prayed, the place was shaken. They went out and God added daily to the church such as should be saved. Hallelujah. The message that they preached was that Jesus, the one that you crucified, has risen and he's alive. And he shed his blood, and I believe in that blood. But the power of the blood, amen, is not just inherent, amen, in his veins. Amen, the blood is not just inherent, amen, drops on the ground. But it's because it was shed, hallelujah. It was purposed on the cross, Brother Branch. It is the cross, the blood stains on the cross that won the victory. Do you hear me tonight? It was the shedding of his blood, hallelujah, on his brow as they pressed the crown of thorns in his face, as they smote him about with a reed, amen, as they plucked out his beard, as they beat upon him, amen, and then they took him and laid him on a cross and pierced his hands and his feet. Those things move us. But the Bible declares that the preaching of the cross is the power of God to the church. It's the power of God. Some folks are just satisfied. And they can't see their need. Because the lines of truth have been blurred. The lines of judgment. Come on, church.
They don't realize what they're facing. Do you and I realize what they're facing? Do we still believe in a literal hell? Do we still believe, amen, in the fires of hell? Amen, in the torments of hell? And Jesus tried to convince us and tell us, hallelujah, and it's immortalized in His Word, how that there was one who wouldn't even have a name, but lifted up His voice and cried out, "Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." It's not preached anymore. The lines of judgment are blurred. There's no reason anymore to fear a holy God. Just, on the other hand, they just don't know the love of God toward them. They don't know how much God loves them. They haven't comprehended the level of love that proved itself by such a sacrifice for them personally. And that love that should be flowing through our hearts, and I know it does. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir tonight, and that's what God said, go to the choir loft and preach. It's the message of the cross. It's still the greatest story to the lost. And we can try everything else, but nothing has the power of God like the preaching of the cross. We cannot lose the message of the blood stained cross. It's not laying flat in my hand. It's not a pretty piece of silver or gold around my neck or hanging on my ankle. But it now represents the message that we preach to the lost. It's their only hope. It's still the only power of God in our witness. You hear me? The Spirit beareth witness with the blood and the Word, both in heaven and in the earth, and these agree one with the other. And if you get outside of that agreement, there's no power in it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is to be in a witness unto me, Jesus said. Their only hope is still our only hope. If we're going to be fruitful, if we're going to accomplish what God has built, if we're going to put to practice that which He's done in our own lives, if we're going to see the power of God, amen, once again, amen, not with men's words, enticing words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Hallelujah. I'd like to see God give power in the church again, wouldn't you? I say we ought to go back to the message. I say we ought to carry it in our heart. I say we ought to take it in our witness. I say we ought to find somebody that you know needs to hear. There's a whole generation has no idea. And we have the message, Brother Jason. We have the message of the cross. We have the truth. How many of you are saved? Wave your hand at me. Come on, you're just not acting like it. You got a born-again experience. You're changed. You're not the same. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. I'm not made over, warmed over, rebuilt. I'm a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. That was by the power of the blood and the Holy Ghost and the Word of God in your life. That's how it came. And that's what's going to save them. And if we, church, would make up our minds to go back to that and concentrate on that and let the Holy Ghost lead that again, I believe we'd see souls saved again. Would somebody please say amen? Jesus must be exalted. Now listen, Proverbs 29 and 18, familiar verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But whoso keepeth the law, happy is he. Amen. The vision means an inspired vision or a revelation. Amen. Heavenly wisdom. Where there are none to instruct the people and expound the will of God unto them. And first grow idle and careless and run into all licentious until growing, amen, to the place, amen, where we ourselves are not ungovernable anymore. Then we are abandoned and they are abandoned to destruction. My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge, Hosea tells us, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, but thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Strong words. Amen. I'm glad God put me up first. Get me out of the way. We'll shout after a while. But as so many times the Lord would have, amen. Can He just talk to our hearts tonight? We need to get back. I said we need to get back. We need to get back to that basic message, that basic preaching, that basic reaching. Amos 8 verses 11 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. I'm glad that some of this stuff is showing up for what it really is. But it's making an opening for us. Hallelujah. We're right there, Brother Robert. We're right there. Do you understand? We're on the open door that God has set before us. And no man can shut. Why? Because it is the power of God unto the church. We're right there. I believe that with all that's within me. And I believe the Holy Ghost will bear witness as He works in the hearts of God's people. Amen. Amen. Matthew 9 and 36. And when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Romans asked the question, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? That is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Hallelujah to God. Where there are not faithful ministers of the word of God, there's perishing. Where divine revelation and the faithful preaching of the sacred testimonies are neither reverenced nor attended, the ruin of that land is at no great distance. Where there's none to instruct the people. So our Lord, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. The faithful dispensation of divine truth is the only hope of a nation. Where this is wanting, the people will sink into ignorance and corruption till their destruction becomes inevitable. Where God withdraweth Himself,
doth not reveal his will to any nation or people, there is no ordinary means of keeping their souls from perishing. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's their only hope. It was your only hope. It's what you believed, that he died for me, that he has forgiven me. I've said it so many times, my people are probably weary of me saying it, but he just didn't die for the world. He died for you. He gave his life for you personally. One man said it this way. I think it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it makes a lot of sense. Man, if I was the only one left on earth, if I was the only man on earth, Jesus would have died for me. Yes, you would have been the one that was holding the hammer that drove the nails. He died for me, hallelujah, and he died for you, and he died for them. He died for them. And so the Lord would challenge the church tonight to consider the message that we preach, even as Jesus preached it. In John chapter 3, he met a man named Nicodemus. Amen. He witnessed to Nicodemus. Would you go there with me? I want, in the light of this, would you go there with me? And let's just read a few verses, amen, from John chapter number 3. They're so familiar, half of them we can quote, amen, but I don't want to run through them, hallelujah. I want the Lord to speak, glory to God. You ever had a moment where you just stopped and read a verse over and over and over and over again? Then you went back and you read the chapter, then you read it again and again and again until you begin to read between the lines and you begin to hear the heartbeat of the author, hallelujah. Jesus is the greatest preacher there ever was, or is to come. And if we'll let the preacher preach, he'll preach this message. Amen. Especially to those who think they already know. There was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came by Jesus at night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Notice, he didn't respond to the miracles. It wasn't about the miracles. Amen. They're just one of the seven proofs, amen, that he is the divine Son of God. Amen. The works that he does. Amen. But that he drew his attention off of that because Nicodemus needed to hear the message. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? And how can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? It's foolishness. It's a stumbling block to the Jew or to the religious man who says, I do what I need to do and I'll be accepted. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Listen, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There is a power in his message that's coming forth, and he takes him next to the very place that Nicodemus had to come to. And that was the one thing he did understand. The brazen serpent that was raised up in the wilderness. Man, Nicodemus was familiar with that. He was a teacher. He was a religious man. Amen. But Jesus connected the power with the truth of history. You got to look on him. And if I
If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, is Jesus' message. Jesus must be exalted in his preaching. He must be exalted. Hear me. Hear me. There's a charismatic, wildfire world out there who takes Jesus tongue in cheek so they can have the feel good of the Holy Ghost. You hear me? Jesus must be exalted in the message. He's the one that died. Oh, I know it's going to get quiet here now. He brought forth that truth. The serpent must be lifted off. There's got to be a seeing of the cross. There's got to be a vision of the cross. Hallelujah. Then he can say, after the message, amen, is clear. Amen. I am the one that's going to be lifted up. I'm the one, Nicodemus, that they saw on that brazen serpent that was on that pole. I'm the one that was represented there. Amen. Listen to me. Then he could expound the love of God, because the love of God now was proven personal. For every individual that looked on it, they were saved from the fiery serpents that bit them out of the sand. It was an individual work. There were a lot of people that perished that day. But when the pole was made and set up and the standard was lifted up, and that serpent on that pole, that brazen, was looked upon, that's when salvation came. Nicodemus, do you understand it? I've got to be lifted up. I've got to be lifted up. And then the message will come clear. And then we can begin to rejoice, hallelujah, in the message. Amen. Then we can know, amen, that we are in the power of God. When Christ, amen, I've preached this here before in many places where I go. I'm sorry, I don't have a lot of new things to say. But I got a lot of the old thing that I'm still saying, hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to take somebody's hand. Amen. I'd like to take the hand of the Lord Jesus and bring the two of them together, and then step back and let the Master do the work. That's what he did for me. He put my hand in the hand of the Father. Raised up between heaven and earth, a bridge. He closed the gap. Amen. He brought the ministry of reconciliation. And now that's our message, isn't it? Amen. In John chapter number 12, amen, in verse number 31 and verse number 32. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Not to revival time. Not to Calvary Lighthouse. Not to Paul Creek. To me. Is this all right? We're right there. We're right there. Can you not see the preparations of the Lord? Can you not see what God's been doing? Can you not see, church, what God's been doing here and moving the church forward? Hallelujah to God. And at the same time, hallelujah, there is a disillusionment. At the same time, there is persecution. At the same time, amen, there is a narrowing of the vision, a narrowing of the message. Hallelujah. Amen. That old worldly church is going to have their revival. I've said it for years, but I'm going to tell you what, when it runs its course, there are going to be some folks looking for the real deal. And I'd like to know that they found it here, and they found it here, and they found it in your mouth one-on-one. The real message, that Jesus died, and the power of the blood is what saves. We are called to continue in this gospel message. Amen. The reconciliation that He has delivered to us. Amen. I skipped over it, but the Lord said, go back and read it. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I quoted some of it. You know it. It's familiar. But I love the context. Amen. Sister Kaylin and I, we're working on context. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Corinthians. Amen. We find there in chapter 5. Amen. Familiar scriptures. Amen. We love it. Amen. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he that died for all, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We're not living to ourselves, are we, church? Come on. Come on. We're not living to ourselves. We're living for them. I know it's not popular. I know we love the blessings of God. And I do too. I felt them all this week, especially in preparing and praying and fasting. I've been praying for weeks and months, amen, over what God's laid on my heart for camp meeting. And I'm telling you, God is speaking to the church in this hour. Hallelujah. Amen. The power of God is in that message, the power of the blood. It's still there. Hallelujah. The message of the blood is still there. The message of the cross still has power. Hallelujah. Not only to deliver from sin, and Jesus is willing to forgive past sins, but the power, the message of the cross is to break the power of sin in our lives and in theirs. Hallelujah. You know that Calvinism is creeping in everywhere. You know that, don't you? The blood is washed of my past sins, my present sins, and my future sins. It's a cheap security. It doesn't work. How many of y'all know it doesn't work? You don't just believe it because your pastor preaches it. You know it in your own life. Amen. There's conviction comes to my heart when I wrong the Lord. And if I don't do something about it after a while, the devil gets a stronghold in my life. And I lose the power of God in my life. And the first place I lose it is in my testimony. And in my witness. Say amen. I felt the Holy Ghost in that. And so we recognize that this message is now delivered to us. Amen. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no more. Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. I'm not concerned about a man's flesh. I'm concerned about his spirit. I'm concerned about the eternal part of man. Because the eternal part of Christ is what made me free. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I don't want him to walk this earth anymore like he was. I don't want to see him with these eyes like he was. Hallelujah. When I see him, I don't know what I shall be, but I know that when I see him, I shall know him, for I shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. I'm going to see him with new eyes. Glory to God. I'm not going to see him with these eyes. I'm not going to hear his voice with these ears. I'm going to see and hear in a new body. And I'm going to rejoice. And the glory of God, hallelujah, will be mine for eternity as I live in his holy presence. God's after the spirit of a man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, including the flesh. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God,
who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, that God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. That's that gut that you feel when God lays a soul on your heart. How long has it been? Hey, I'm so glad God got me up first so I can get out of the way. We'll shout after a while. What do you want out of this meeting? What do you want out of this church? I want to see souls around these altars. I want to see seats filled with families. Not with wayward children here and there. Or necessarily bus kids, but give them to me. I'll love on them. Hallelujah. But I want to see families. Don't you want to see that? Don't you want to see what God did for you? Come on, church. I'm not just asking rhetorically. I want to know that. I want to know tonight, because if you are, then maybe, perhaps, maybe you'll turn, amen, your hearing aid up just a little bit. No offense to my brother, hallelujah, anybody else, but we need to turn it up and tune it and tweak it a little and begin to listen to the Lord, because we're in an hour, amen, that we think not, and that's when he's going to come, and so many are not ready yet. God hears their cry every day. He hears the cry of those under the cruel taskmaster. He hears their weeping in the night with no answer and no understanding. Why? Why? God, are you there? Why is my baby sick? Why is my marriage destroyed? Why is my body ravaged? Why, God, has all this befallen? No answer. No remedy. But we have the message of salvation. We have the message of the power of God. I know it's simple tonight, church. But I feel like simple sometimes is a little bit more strong. Amen. I'd like to tune my hearing to what God will do this week in this meeting. To speak to my heart and get me to that place where I will grow into new avenues, where I will reach up and grab a new rung. Hallelujah. Not just so that I can say I'm more spiritual, but to say that I'm more ready to do the work. I'm more ready to reach the lost. I'm more sensitive to their cry. I can see them walking in the very flames of hell, and I can see their torments, and I want to rescue them. Like he rescued me. Hallelujah. And so the cross to them is the power of God through us. And the cross to us is the power of God, even in our personal life. The story is still real. The story is still real. Isaiah 53 is still real. Hear me, church. The word Rapha is the healing of the whole man. I love God's divine healing power. And I want to see him do it. But why does he do it, Brother Pepper? To bring the lost to the truth of the healing power of their heart, of their sin-sick soul. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the judgment of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are made whole. We are healed. Look it up, the word Rapha, the whole man. I know that I believe in all my heart in divine healing, and I thank God when he does it. You know me, I preach it. I've seen it happen. God's done it for me. But I still feel like that God wants me to go deeper into that thought and find the healing of the lost before it's too late. It is the power to forgive and to cleanse sins. It is the power over the nature of sin. It is the message of salvation, and all else is foolish wisdom. And so the preaching of the cross, I got to close. The preaching of the cross in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse number, let's see if I can find it here. 1 Corinthians 2. In verse number 1. And brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When you're gone, what will they believe? When you are moved down the road, or they are moved down the road, what are they going to believe? Oh, my heart is so full. God didn't make all of these different divisions. I promise you, He didn't. There's only one church. Say amen with me. There's only one Budblock church. A lot of this division and strife and carry on ain't nothing but men arguing about nothing. Doctrine, yes. Sound doctrine, yes. And I'll stand for sound doctrine. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand for the message that Christ gave the disciples to preach. And Paul echoed it when he raised up the structure and the order of the church. Hallelujah. And I believe that it's still the same message that we ought to preach. I'd like to challenge some preachers in this house tonight to get in that book and study and find the blood course from the very beginning until the end. Find the blood course in the altar, and how it ties to the altar in heaven. Find the blood course in the preaching, and how it saves and heals and delivers. Amen. Find the course of the blood in the message. Amen. I love to sing about it, but I want to describe it. I want them to understand, Brother Pepper, that I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus by the blood. By the blood. Sir, if you died tonight, would you know that you'd go to heaven? Well, I hope so. I've tried to live a good life. I've not really done well in a lot of respects, but no, that's not what I asked you. I said, if God were to call for you right now, you would just step forward. Say, here am I, God. They came to Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. The young man came running to him. Sir, what must I do to have eternal life? The Philippian jailer fell on his knees. What must I do to be saved? What must I do? Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing to happen, isn't it? You want to talk about shouting? I preached about that. The joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. The things we joy over in this life, and one of them is when a soul gets saved. Will you say amen with me? I'm not beating this up tonight, but the record is plain. And I accept that, Lord. I accept your finger on my life. I accept
Oh, Sister Kaylin, I almost wish I'd have asked you to bring that which you read. Maybe another time. All my life is spent for what? Did that man not preach a good message on Friday night, Brother Zane Estes? All my life is lived for what? What have I to show at the end of my life? When I stand before the Lord, what have I got? What have I got? I want to have a soul under each arm. I want to be able to stand before the Lord and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so the preaching of the cross is in demonstration and in power. And Paul went over and over again to try to say, look, it's not me. It's not my message. It's Christ preaching in me. And all that got a hold of me, Brother Branch. That got a hold of me. Even this morning again in prayer. Amen. Before the altar, God, I just prayed. I said, God, I can't. I'm not doing good right now. I want Him to preach. I want Him to preach His message. You hear me? He was faithful and He knew how to do it. And He's the preacher. He's the Prince of Preachers. And if we'll open our mouth and we're humbled, He will fill it with the message. Hallelujah. And you will see the power of God. John calls his mama from Maine on a ministry trip. He preached on Sunday morning. He said, Daddy, he said, I was so humbled. He said, a man came down the aisle. He'd never been there before. His kids were in the Christian school. And he preached a simple message. And the man came and fell over the altar, gave his heart to God. And he said, Daddy, and he broke as he was telling me. He said, Daddy, he said, that humbled me. That humbled me. Oh, God. Stand with me, church. I got to quit. I wanted to bring this to a certain spot, but I feel the Lord telling me. What's the remedy to us tonight? Take up your cross, Jesus said, and follow me. The cry of the lost, truth, has fallen in the street. But he said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The cross that you carry is the will of God for you. It's all of you surrendered to God. And Jesus must be first to the exclusion of everyone and everything else. And I'm here to tell you again tonight for the umpteenth time, because I know I tell myself every day, souls are still the first work. Brother Robert, 'tis a glorious house. 'Tis a glorious church. Without spot or wrinkle. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. But don't get so caught up that we forget the multitudes around us that are in the valley of decision. And that we would temper our prayer and our searching for God to bless us and encourage us and strengthen us so that we can be a better witness. Father, I thank you tonight for the word of the Lord. I pray, God, I feel like I've stumbled through this. Lord, I've preached some of the same things in my life over and over again, God, because I think you're trying to talk to me. I need a fresh baptism of love. Father, I need a fresh baptism of the cross. I need a fresh baptism, Lord, of your heart's burden. Oh, Lord, I know you're going to shout us. I know you're going to bless. But tonight, Lord, for just a moment, would you draw us to the foot of the cross? To look once again from its foot at the blood-stained banner and renew our vision so that it will be in demonstration and in power. I want to exalt you, Jesus, alive forevermore. You're not on the cross anymore. You're at the right hand of the Father. And you sent back the word, the message, the anointing that destroys the yoke and sets the captive free. Do a work in my heart this week, Lord. And let me rightly value what you've given to me for so many blessings. I ask it in Jesus' name. Could you meet me in the altar for a season of prayer? From young until old, even a child can tell the story of